The Afternoons with Joy podcast is presented by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Afternoons with Joy podcast. I'm your host, Joy Summers, and I do a radio show on WayFM focusing on faith, family, and fun. And if you missed the first episode of this podcast, I'd love for you to go back and check that out because it's part one of the Q&A. These questions, they came from you. Specifically, if you're friends with me on Instagram, that's where they all came from. You can find me under WayFM Afternoon Show. But it's been really fun to talk about my first year of motherhood. Frankly, some of these questions have made me think deeper than I have on my own, which is great. I need to do that more often. And in fact, some of the things in this podcast, we dig into more heart stuff. And at the very end, I talk about something that I've never talked about anywhere else. And I didn't even plan to talk about, but the question about adoption brought it up. So that's at the very end. We're kicking it off with a funny question about coffee. Here we go.
How many times do you have to reheat your coffee before you give it to Jesus and give up and drink it cold?
Okay, that is a mother right there.
Yeah, and there's been multiple photos even shared on our social media of you like leaving coffee mugs just in random places because you forgot it somewhere.
Literally, right. This is my practice. Right before I leave the house with my kid in the morning to take him to preschool, I run around the house and look for wherever I've left my coffee mug and try to gulp down whatever's left of it ice cold. And it's disgusting and it's a horrible practice. I microwave three times a morning. At least.
Whoa.
It's sad. If a mug cannot be microwaved, I don't even buy it. I'm like, what's the point? It's so stupid. You just get used to drinking cold, lukewarm coffee. It's like, okay.
You could get yourself like a really nice thermos or something.
I could. I should, but I wouldn't, you know, I would lose it.
So. It'd be a waste of money.
I love that. That's such a relatable question.
This is getting kind of in the more serious direction, just to warn you. What has God taught you through your first year as a mom?
So many things. I talk more about this. We can go ahead and link my postpartum video. I have done a couple of interviews on that. But right after I gave birth, I experienced some postpartum depression. And I even had a crisis of faith during some of that because I thought, I shouldn't be struggling this much. If I have a relationship with God, I should be able to snap out of this. And everybody knows hormones are going pretty crazy. Your body's experiencing a lot. And until I was able to get some help for my postpartum depression, I just really struggled in my faith. But as I leveled out and I'm in a better season of life, I would say that God showed me this last year that my need for him is not a weakness and it's not bad and it's not an annoyance to him. That the fact that most of my prayers are, God, help me during the day. God, I need you. God, I don't know what to do. And that's the full encompassment of my prayers. I don't know if encompassment's a word, but I made it up. That's my prayer. And I always thought, oh, that's terrible. Like, I should have these long, amazing times with Jesus, but that's not the season that I'm in. And God is showing me that my dependence on him is a good thing, even though I'm in crisis a lot. And my sinful nature tends to tell me that annoys God at some point, and he wishes I would get it together. I now know that that's a lie and that he's grateful that I'm coming to him at all. In fact, my neediness gets to show me his character more. And I have loved that.
Hmm. Well, do you have any like solid examples of how you like overcame the self-doubt and depression? Because I know it was rough, but surely you found out some things that you could do to just kind of alleviate it.
Yeah. Self-doubt, I still struggle with. We talked about mom guilt earlier. I think that's something that women always struggle with and something that the enemy uses. And so I'm still struggling with the self-doubt, but overcoming the depression, it looked like saying I need help. And I don't know that I've overcome anything. I just think I'm in a bit of a better season. Here's something that you know if you struggle with anxiety and depression is that you'll have good days and bad days. And I knew I was getting healthier when I had more good days than I had bad days. I'll still have a day here and there where I wonder, oh, is the depression back or the anxiety? But what I did in that season was things started to turn around when I started to be honest about where I was and to ask for help. I started with talking to a girlfriend and then talking to my husband, talking to my doctor, then talking to a counselor, and then getting on medication, which I'm still on. And it has really helped to level me out. And it just helps me cope with the craziness of my life right now. And it's what I needed chemically at the time. And some women that I've talked to, they stayed on it after their babies. It's something that, you know, I'm going to look into with my doctor. But it just really helped. And I mean, truly, God's a huge part of that. Like him working in and through people and our conversations and his word, just to remind me that I wasn't crazy, that I was going to get through the season that was just really hard for me. Some women have like great first years of motherhood. Don't let me scare you, but some women struggle like I did.
Yeah. You got to have to be prepared for the worst just in case, you know?
Yeah. But that can be hard too. Cause you got to know there's going to be good moments as well.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Any Bible passages that helped with the self-doubt, depression, or just the motherhood in general?
Yeah, I saw that one, Party, and I had trouble coming up with something for it right away because there have been Bible passages that really helped me, but it was hard for me to remember them. But there's one that through the last decade has really helped me. It's Psalm 42, and David, I just love David because he is super emotional. And I'm like, I get
relatable.
You. Yes, I get it. And in that passage, he is speaking to his soul, and he says, "Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Put your hope in God." And I felt like through this whole season, I was feeling a lot of things. There was a lot of emotion, a lot of darkness, and a lot of struggling in the first couple of months. But I had to tell my soul, put your hope in God, even if you don't feel it. And the second part of that, he goes on to say that like there will be days coming of thanksgiving and praise. There's going to be better days coming. But when you don't know when they're coming and you don't know what that's going to look like, you can despair. And so it just reminded me that I can tell my soul the truth. You need to put your hope in God. And it's you kind of have to tell yourself the truth, even when you don't feel it.
Were there times, and I know I've gone through this, I'm assuming you would have gone through this during motherhood, where the Bible was not your first go-to to like read? And what was that like, and how did you overcome that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Party. The Bible, sitting down with it, is so tough when your kids are this little. And if you are watching this and you are a mom, a dad, and you struggle to get in your Bible reading time, totally normal. That's okay. I've never been in the Bible less than I have this last year, and that's been really hard for me. I got a devotional book that I love called New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp, and it has like a daily one, and I would probably get to like maybe one a week, but I would get ready in the morning and then I would like sit down with it, and it seemed like almost every time, Party, I would open it, I'd get a sentence in, and I'd hear my kid wah! On the monitor. I'd be like, that's the devil. The devil
trying
doesn't
to
want
you.
Me to read.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to wake up right now? It seemed like every time I was able to try to sit down, it just didn't happen. But that's how I've learned to get the Bible in other ways. I've listened to like literal like audio recording of the Bible. You can do that on the Bible app. Sometimes I just turn it on like a psalm and just hit play as I drive to work and just listen to it on my Bluetooth. I've listened to sermons on YouTube. I've listened to podcasts that get the Bible in. So there are ways to get it in this season that you don't really have time to sit down. You can't journal your feelings. It's just not the season that I'm in. Taking a quick break from the conversation to tell you about our show sponsors. If someone told me they were a part of a Chicken of the Month club, I would think that they were getting free Chick-fil-A every single month. But we've actually partnered with Food for the Hungry. And when you join the Chicken of the Month Club, you're providing two chickens to a different vulnerable family every single month. Here's why that's so important, because there are families struggling with hunger around the globe right now. In fact, Marta is a woman who lives in Bolivia, and her kids were underweight and unhealthy, and all they had was corn and potatoes to eat. But they got to take advantage of this Chicken of the Month Club, and they received two chickens. And now that they're laying eggs, her kids are getting healthier by the day. They are in school, and that all happened because of a generous person like you. We've partnered with Food for the Hungry because they are a Christian organization that is going to the ends of the earth to help the most vulnerable people. All you have to do to help provide 2 chickens every single month for a different family is go to fh.org/joy and give that $28 a month. You can give that sustainable source of protein for a family that desperately needs it. Click the link in the show notes or go to fh.org/joy. Being in the grocery checkout line with a sleeping toddler is stressful. I was trying to get out the other day when I realized one of my packages of frozen vegetables was sliced open. So I tried to hand it to the cashier and he said, "Ma'am, it is not your turn. I'm going to need you to step back." That is not the kind of attention and one-on-one care I needed in that moment. And this is why we are confident working with United Faith Mortgage. Because when you're in need, buying a house or working on your current mortgage, you need someone who's going to give you personal, one-on-one attention. And that's exactly what their small faith and family team will do. United Faith Mortgage also has this direct lender advantage. See, that means there's no middleman. And this advantage often can save you monthly and lifelong money. So if you want to refinance your home or you're just looking to get into that home of your dreams, check out UnitedFaithMortgage.com. That's UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
What was your most used baby registry item? Because I don't know.
So many.
Actually, I think of like wedding gifts and how you might just be like, I want this and that. Yeah. And it's, you just kind of throw the whole kitchen sink.
I was so clueless about this, by the way, that I'm working on a blog that has my most used baby registry items with all the links, because I just want you, if you're like a mom to be or you have a friend, to have a resource to send, because I took my sister-in-law who'd had a baby with me to Bye-Bye Baby because it's so overwhelming. And I just said, point to the stuff I should scan. Like, I was so clueless. I was like, do I need this Keurig that makes formula that's $400? And she was like, no, put it down. I was like, okay. I would say this is really, you're gonna be surprised, Party, the nose Frida, the snot sucking straw. That is the thing that I buy for everybody. CJ told me about it and I was like, I'm never sucking snot out of my child's face. Like, it doesn't get in your mouth, but it's just a weird concept. And then CJ goes, you just wait until your baby can't breathe. And they're in the middle of the night when my son is like so stuffed up and laying on my chest and he can't sleep and he can't breathe, you're like, get me the snot straw, get me the nose Frida. And it like, it helps yeah. so much. They scream and they hate it, but it helps so much. So like, you want to have it ready just in case.
So I don't know about those very much. I know you and Colton Dixon have talked about it in the
when
past.
When you were a kid and when I was a kid, they used like a blue bulb that's like a bulb with a thing that would like, and that doesn't really work very well. Okay. And the snot can get in the bulb and then you can't
that's
get it
out.
That's
what I was thinking. That sounds disgusting.
It is disgusting.
So is the one that you have like more automated?
No, it's like literally a straw and you put this thing in their nose and you like suck it out, but it can't come. There's like a blocker so it doesn't go into your mouth, but then you can like take it all apart and rinse all the snot
out. So it's reusable over and over and over again. Although maybe eventually you might want to.
So gross.
I'm about to look that up.
You totally need one. I wish I didn't have to use it, but I do.
Well, I guess I'll prepare to do that.
Highly recommend.
So this goes back to you being a working mom, okay. A career-oriented person. What were the disadvantages and advantages of doing this while being a mom?
I know that I took notes on that. I don't want to mess it up. Okay. The advantages of being a working mom are that you get a creative outlet. I know a lot of stay-at-home moms who are so creative with the stuff they do with their kids because you still need an outlet. But I really feel like I get to do stuff that I enjoy at my job, which helps. And it also keeps me from wrapping up my identity in my child because there's a whole part of my life outside of him that reminds me that I'm not just his mom. I'm not just his caregiver. Like this morning he wiped snot on my shirt. And I was like, you know what? I'm not just your Kleenex. I'm going to go to work and do other things that I feel like are of value today too. And so that's been really helpful for me. I also will say one of the benefits of being a working mom is that your time with your kid is precious. And so I am super dialed in. I don't even ever know where my phone is when I'm home. It drives my husband insane. He can never reach me when he's gone because as soon as I get home, I hang up my purse, my phone is in there, and you can't reach me because I'm just with my kid until he goes to bed. And that's the advantage. Even when he frustrates me because I have less time with him than other moms, I think I let it go faster. And it's just a really precious dialed in time when I am with him.
Yeah, I know I've been a victim to that as well, of you not having your phone on you.
Sorry, Barty. And I'll add one more that as a working mom, you get to be socialized. I know that if I was a stay-at-home mom, I would struggle with not being able to have like adult conversation during the day, just because your kid, depending on the level, is not going to have much of a conversation. But being able to laugh and chat with coworkers if you work away from the house, there's a benefit there too.
Yeah.
And I need to talk about the disadvantage.
Yeah, I was going to say the obvious disadvantage.
You don't get to be with your kid.
Yeah.
That part's really tough. I would say the disadvantages, yeah, you miss out on moments in time. Party knows I've been so concerned about missing milestones with my kid while I'm at work. I specifically told his caregiver, I was like, if he tries to walk and I'm not there, you push him down. You do it so fast. And then go figure, he walked when I was at my in-laws' house and I was cleaning up a diaper and he was in the other room and I still missed it. And like, I wasn't at work. I just missed it because I was in the other room. So you're going to miss stuff regardless, is what that made me realize.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably common because you can't be with him 24/7.
No, you can't. So it's really, I honestly still cry every single day that I drop him off. I know some people said I'll get used to it. I'm in month two. I'm still really struggling. And I can feel like, I think one of the disadvantages of working is that you feel a lot of mom guilt. I mentioned earlier how some days you feel like a great employee, some days you feel like a great mom. But the disadvantage is that, yeah, there's a lot of mom guilt over not being there and wondering if they're going to be okay because you're not with them as much during these really formative years. And so, yeah, there's a lot of concerns there. And my kid is in a mommy phase. My husband is garbage right now. He doesn't want him at all. He cries if I go upstairs to go to the bathroom. Like, it's so intense that all he wants is me. And so I want to give him me as much as possible. And so, yeah, there's always worries and concerns. So, yeah, honestly, I'm kind of jealous of stay-at-home moms. It's a hard but wonderful situation.
Yeah. Well, and I know you mentioned a while back about how it's hard to talk to people and talk about these challenges when that person can't have a kid or there's some other thing, like maybe they aren't married, like a bunch of challenges with that. Let me say this. Someone who wrote in said that they want kids, but don't know if she can have any.
Oh,
how would you feel about adoption? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh my goodness. I love this question because I've not talked about this publicly, I don't think, but I am so pro adoption. That's actually something that has been on my heart before I met my husband, before we got married. And it's something that he's always desired to do as well. So I think if that's something God has placed on your heart, pursue it and see what it looks like. It takes time to adopt and finances, but there's organizations that can help you. We've looked into some of those as well. And since it takes time, I think if you're feeling that, then you can get the ball rolling. Like, my husband and I have talked about, what does that look like for us? And what I've never said publicly is that in the first few months of having my kid, I would be up in the middle of the night with him, which is regular, especially when you're like a full-time pumping mom, which I was. But regardless, I'm up in the night with him and I would be holding him, Party, and I would be wiping away his tears and kissing his face. And my heart would all of a sudden just think about these children who don't have anybody to do that for them. I would start thinking, there's like a kid in India right now who's at an orphanage or who doesn't have any caregivers, who's crying in the night and nobody is wiping away their tears and nobody's kissing their face. And then it would come in moments when I would be clipping my son's toenails or something, and I'd be like, there's a child that nobody's doing this for. No one is caring for them. And my heart would break for them so deeply that I would start to cry sometimes. Mm. And then I would come to my husband and tell him about it, and he would be like, oh, that's really interesting. And I thought that was probably a normal thing because you're so emotional. Like, of course you think about other children who don't have parents when you have just had a kid. So I started asking my girlfriends about it. None of them had had that experience. None of them. And that's when I started to think, I wonder if this is from God. And so I started to talk to God about it, and it's continued to happen through the first year of my child's life, that God has broken my heart for the orphan and the child that doesn't have anybody. And so I hope for us one day we'll be able to bring one home. I don't know what that will look like, but I pray even now, if God has a child for us, for that child. And I encourage you, if you're even considering adoption, to start praying now about it, that God will lead you to the right one.
Yeah.
I'm just really passionate about it, but I never talk about that. So
yeah,
thank you
for I don't think I've heard that from you until now.
I know. I never talk about it because we don't really know what it's going to look like yet.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Big
process.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Joy, that was all the questions that people submitted.
We did it.
We did it.
We did them all. Okay, thank you so much for interacting and sharing those questions. I didn't anticipate to talk about some of those things, but that's the beauty of you interacting with the show, is that I get to go places that I might not have otherwise. So thank you for your support in this first year of motherhood. Honestly, couldn't have done it without you. Couldn't have done it without party support. He did like a lot of work behind the scenes for me and continues to. So thank you for helping me with this today.